you to do. And roll on, 18-wheeler, roll on.
Now welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you for being with us on this Thursday morning. Text line 251-343-0106 is how you get in touch with the program. Joining us now on the line, he's our senior U.S. Senator, but soon to be Governor Tommy Tuberville is with us. Coach, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Jeff. Doing good. It's a little hot up here in D.C., 104 degrees yesterday. I thought it'd be a little cooler up here, but it is hot as heck.
Well, it's, I lived up there for a long time, and you got the worst of both. You got the cold and the hot, and it just wasn't, I don't know, you had to learn how to deal with the cold, but you still had to deal with the hot as well.
Oh, yeah.
Well, let's start here. The business of Washington, D.C., and you and I are kind of talking about this. I'm kind of interested in your election outlook. I know you're running for governor, but as far as keeping control of the Senate, and you got kind of the main situations look a little bit better for Susan Collins, but what are you hearing up there?
Well, it's kind of up in the air. I don't know really about Congress or the House. They got their own fight over there. They're just trying to keep majority. I think they got a good chance, especially with all the redistricting, getting it back in line the way it should be. And then there's a lot of good things getting done in the country, with President Trump at the helm. Now, the Senate, obviously, up here, we've got 49 that I really believe that, we want to get a lot of things done, but we're being held back by, three people in the Senate, Tom Tillis, well, Mitch McConnell, and Murkowski, and Collins. They hate President Trump so much that they're going to vote against their own people. So we're kind of stuck. If we could get 51 votes to bust the filibuster, we could really do a lot of good for the country. It's not in the Constitution, and hadn't been around as long as what people think. But, we got people up here that use it against the Democrats. The Democrats use it against us, and it slows this process down. But we got to give President Trump some help, and hopefully we do that through this reconciliation 3.0 that we're getting ready, hopefully, to do to help the farmers and the military and get the Save America Act passed.
Well, you get that done. What does it look like? Let's talk about that. And, let's kind of assume that the filibuster is where it is. What does it look like between now and August recess or even head into November?
There's a huge speech tonight at 8:00 Central Time. President Trump's going to give. I think he's going to talk about a lot of things, especially Iran and what's going on in the Middle East. But I think he's going to really focus on voter fraud that they have uncovered in Georgia. And we all knew that. There's no way that Georgia was going to vote for Ossoff and Warnock. And it's just fortunate that President Trump got elected, and he has loaded up Fulton County with FBI, CIA people that are looking into investigating the fraud. And it evidently it's rampant. But we'll hear tonight. I think American people need to tune into that, because we can't continue to live in a country where we have more and more blue states that are starting to rig the elections. We probably, Jeff, have maybe five senators that are up here that did not win elections. It was all rigged by the Democrats and George Soros and the machine that they put together. And it's and this is not just a Republican hollering, fraud. I mean, we have seen the evidence, and we have not seen the new stuff that President Trump probably going to talk about tonight, but it's rampant and it's getting worse. And that's the reason he is so adamant. We have to start doing voter ID in some of these states. California, if you try to show an ID to vote, they'll arrest you. But don't you show us that ID. We don't want an ID. And what kind of nonsense is that? And it's getting worse. It's spreading across the country. So I think tonight will be a huge speech for our country, and people need to really pay attention, to what has been uncovered. It's not President Trump saying it. This is what the things that have been uncovered in all the investigations that he's put on, especially in Georgia.
The Todd Blanche nomination looked pretty good. How you feel about that?
The who was that?
Todd Blanche, the AG appointee.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's a great guy. I've known him now for ever since I've been here. He's a true American, loves the country. Obviously, he understands the law. He's been a lawyer. I met him several times when I'd go up and sit behind President Trump at some of these crazy lawsuits that President Trump was being pushed on in New York. And went up with J.D. several times. And Todd was the lawyer for President Trump, just a solid guy, really smart, and he understands the situation this country's in when it comes to the Democrats just trying to take advantage of things that they shouldn't be taking advantage of when it comes to the Constitution. So I'm excited about him. He'll get confirmed. I don't think, you know, we got Tom Tillis on there, but I think he's even seen the light in terms of, hey, we got to get a good attorney general in there that's going to put people in jail and take back our country from these illegals.
We're joined by Tommy Tuberville here on the program, our senior U.S. senator. The your gubernatorial campaign, we haven't talked to you. I mean, you're the nominee now, and you know, and there's some people trying to change that, but you feel pretty good about where you are related to the gubernatorial campaign and related to all the other litigation trying to challenge your residency.
Yeah, they filed another one. Yes, the Supreme Court. They're going all the way to the end with this, but they have nothing to run on. Jeff, they have no platform. They have nothing to make Alabama or America a better place to live and give our kids an opportunity for success. You know, all they do is they're now away from socialism, pushing communism, as President Trump calls it. And he's exactly right. You know, they're trying to get some kind of foothold in this country, in every state, where they can change our Constitution and let in all the illegals and be in power forever. And this guy I'm running against is one of those. And again, I want to hear what he's talking about, how to make Alabama better. But all he's trying to do is say I hadn't lived here. Obviously, the guy can't read because we gave him all the information, tax forms, driver's license, residency. We gave it to him about 4 or 5 months ago. And evidently, they're one of those groups that never went to school and got a education where they can read a simple tax form. So, but it's working out, and we're going to run hard. We got a couple more weeks up here, then we're 5 weeks on the road campaigning, and we got a great plan. We put a plan together. It's going to be totally different than what the people of the state of Alabama have seen for the last many years. We've got to be progressive. We got to grow the state. We have to educate our kids, but the first thing we're going to do is we're going to take our streets back. I'm sick and tired of these people, murders every night, people stealing stuff, going in the stores and not being prosecuted. We've got to work from our judicial system on down. We got to put more law enforcement people on the streets. As you probably read, I met with the sheriffs earlier this week. We're going to work with our county sheriffs and our deputies. We're going to put more people on the highways in terms of state troopers. We barely have enough people to cover what we're doing, and that's embarrassing. I mean, if we're going to grow this state, we got to convince the people that's bringing, their manufacturing companies into this state that they're protected, and this is going to be a state that's going to go by the law and go by the Constitution. And so that's one of the places that we'll have to start. We got a lot of plans, but that's one you'll see very quickly, that we're going to take our streets back over, mainly in some of these blue areas that some of these blue mayors have just decided that, hey, they're going to join forces with communists from Washington, D.C., and that's not going to happen.
Coach, your comments at that speech about the data centers, kind of talk about that a little bit and the way you see that playing a role in Alabama.
Yeah, you know, we've been working with data centers for about 2 years. You know, there's 4,000 data centers already in the country. They've been here for 20, 25 years and growing. And AI is the future. And all it says, data centers, is about storing information. And there's a lot of misconception out there, because growing AI is going to grow our education, going to give our kids a better opportunity. And it's also going to continue to lead China. Now, the propaganda coming out on social media is coming from China, most of it. Just kind of pushing the narrative that it's dangerous and we don't need to do it. Well, who benefits from that? The Chinese benefit from it. So we've been working with it. I've been in dozens and dozens of data centers all over the country, looking at them, talking to people. Now they've really advanced. You hear people say, well, it uses our water. Well, now the data centers that they're building, because of new technology, you use water, but then they recycle it like a car wash. They don't use different water every day. And so that's a misnomer. And then, of course, power. Now, it does use power, and we will not raise power rates in the state of Alabama. We already got some of the highest in known to man for some reason, and that's going to stop. But we have to use gas, as President Trump says, put your data centers close to pipe gas pipelines, let them build their own power, use their own power, and that's what we'll do in some areas. But you have a lot of these people talking about things that they really know nothing about. And so the governor's not going to be able to just come out and say, hey, yes, we're going to do this in this spot. It's obviously got to be talked and passed through some of these city councils or county commissions. But we're going to look at every avenue, because, Jeff, the taxes that this brings in, I mean, it could be enormous, tens of millions of dollars a year for a data center that goes to your school taxes. It goes to your schools. It goes to your counties. And we have to find ways in which make our country better, and especially our state. And so I told President Trump this months ago, you know, that, hey, I'm all in with data centers, because we've done our work on it. We've looked at it. We hadn't just said, okay, man, data centers bring a lot of tax money. No, we've looked at it. We've looked at the situation. We want to put them really in areas which you'll never really see them. There's no noise to it. Everybody said, well, it's noise pollution. Well, come on. There's no noise pollution on these things. You know, you can stand outside and not hear the thing running. And so, yes, we're doing our due diligence. We want to use the data centers. We're not going to just run over the top of some of these cities and say, yes, you're going to put this here. That's not going to happen. We're going to work with county and city leaders and make this work, but also explain to them the good and the bad, and what they'll profit from it. And I think there's no doubt that they'll buy into this.
Coach, when you're elected governor, you're going to inherit a mess with the corrections and the prisons, you know, be it just the existing structure itself, what is to be built and what needs to be built. You had some strong words about that as well. Where do you see that? I mean, like, where do you even start with that mess?
Yeah, it is a mess. And, you know, it's embarrassing how we got to this point. We've already started a plan. We started about a year ago, and it takes good leadership first from that standpoint of who does it. We've talked to all the good states that really know what they're doing with their correction system. And we've talked to Florida. We've talked to Georgia. We've talked to Tennessee. We've talked to Kansas, Missouri, Texas. There's some good. There's some bad. And then what you do is you learn from experience. So, first of all, it costs a lot of money. It costs a lot of money to have prisons, but we're going to have prisons because we're not going to have the animals running the zoo. We've got to straighten it out, and it's embarrassing, you know, that documentary that came out about our prison system. So, that'll be one of our first things that we start doing. It's costing us a lot of money. I really don't understand. I've had the engineers and architects here building our new one down. I think it's in Atmore. And it started out about $600-700 million. Now it's $1.2-1.3 billion because of change orders. And we will do a forensic counting of every dime spent. So those people down there building this, you better really be careful what you're doing. Make sure you account for everything that's going on. There's no reason for a prison to cost $1 billion. My gosh. And so we will take control of it. We're not going to just let it run, you know, on autopilot. Our correction system will be one of the best in the country. It's just going to take us a while to get control of it, get new leadership in, and put a plan together. It's like anything else. You just don't have it. You got to have a plan to do it. And we have got some great ideas to make it work, to make it less expensive on the taxpayers from Alabama, because I don't like prisons. You don't like prisons. You don't like your tax money going there. Some of it has to go there, but not near the amount that what we're spending right now. We have got to do it a better way, but we can do it a better way. and do it a lot less expensive of the taxpayer's money.
And last question, we'll get you out of here on this. You know, the state of college football right now, this is your field of expertise. You're leaving the United States Senate. But, you know, it just seems like, you know, every day something, some facet of this is just more alarming. Where are we on that? Do you have any hope for that in between now and sometime in the future of getting resolved by Congress?
Yeah, I was hopeful that there would come up something in the Commerce Committee, because that's where it has to go through. So Ted Cruz, along with Rhea Cantwell from Washington, put something together, and basically Ted turned it over to her at the end. Just, hey, put in there what you want, and let's see if we'll agree with it. Well, for some reason, he agreed to it. It's a disaster. It basically puts Congress in charge of college sports. Can you imagine that? I mean, heck, we can't do anything right up here. And it's got a lot of waivers, and you can sue at any time. It looks like a group of trial lawyers got together and said, hey, let's just really screw this up, because you can't screw it up anymore than what it is. But they're trying to. And I just keep telling Ted, I keep telling Cantwell, I tell the commissioners that come to see me, the coaches, I've told the president several times, and the president even agrees with me on this. You can't fix it all, but we can fix eligibility and say, listen, you got 5 years to play. No more 30-year-olds playing 18-year-olds. Can't do it. No more. And you're not going to get a waiver for it. They got waivers for this in Ted Cruz's bill. And then you get one transfer. Now you can transfer after that, but after that one transfer, you've got to sit out of your, like the old rule. And the problem is they got waivers for that. And as I tell Ted and I tell the president, you put waivers in there, you got all kinds of situations where this year you've got 7, 8-year kids playing because they went to a district judge or went to somebody and got somebody that was fond of that university, and a federal judge overruled the NCAA. We cannot allow that to happen. I'm dreading football season, just going to some of these schools and watching games, because we won't know who they are. And I love sports. Everybody knows I did it for 35 years. You cannot continue to have 50, 60 players transfer every year in college football. You're going to run it. They know that. But the Democrats could care less, because they know that it's more of a southern thing than it is a northern thing, and they could care less about the South.
Coach, we always appreciate your time. Let's do this again soon, and best of luck to you.
On TV. All right, Jeff. Have a good summer. Thank you. God bless.
All right, Tommy Tuberville, ladies and gentlemen. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5.
On old dogs and children and watermelon wine.